We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Wow, that was quick. All right, welcome in, welcome in. It is Monday morning, the 8th, and it's time for an episode of Broncos for Breakfast. Last show flying solo. Scott's on a much-deserved vacation still with the family, so we'll be going, 30, 40 minutes today and then getting on out of here. So appreciate you guys coming in and hanging out. Let's say hello to people in the chat as we start to matriculate on in. We got Jeremy Sean in the house saying, morning, Nick. Anyone that doesn't play quarterback as a dark horse at 12, see, I think at 12, almost quarterback, it's still likely, obviously, but I think quarterback is exponentially higher if they trade. 12 is like, okay, well, the board didn't fall like we wanted. We don't have a trade partner kind of like we want, and we need to just take talent here. So we'll see how it plays out, obviously, trying to get into the mind of Sean Payton. I think anybody who is trying to peddle insider information right now, I'd be somewhat skeptical of, because the Broncos moves this offseason have been rather unheard. I guess there was no smoke before they came on. So that is something that the signing of Jones at safety, the release of Justin Simmons, a lot of the moves have been out of left field, no buzz at all. So I think that anybody who says they have insider information, I'd be skeptical right now, but we'll see. We got String Guy coming in here saying, morning all, good to see you, String Guy. Denver Luke in the house too, saying good morning, Nick. Scott, did anyone watch the greatest WrestleMania of all time yesterday? I'm 21 and I felt like a kid again. It was incredible. I am not a wrestle fan, really. I mean, gosh, I'm pretty much all football at this point. I did watch the Caitlin Clark experience. It was too bad they lost the last game, but man, South Carolina, what a buzzsaw. Unbelievably talented. Best team definitely won. But nope, didn't catch it. I'm glad you liked it. I heard a lot of people really enjoyed it. Just never been for me. I mean, gosh, outside, to be completely honest, I spend so much time walking and outdoors and prioritizing doing stuff like that, that outside of football, almost all of my TV consumption is with my wife and whatever she also wants to watch. We agree on it, but definitely she didn't, not a wrestle fan. So me getting time to myself to watch WrestleMania right now, not happening. But I heard it was great. So congrats to you, Denver. Hope you're doing well. And glad to feel like a little kid again. Hopefully the Broncos can make you feel like a little kid again sometime soon coming up here. String Guy coming in says everyone seems to be pretty certain Peyton is going to take Knicks at 12. It's possible. I think Denver will either trade up or trade back unless there is a player like Joe Alt or Marvin Harrison Jr. still on the board. I think that's pretty unlikely unless something terrible happens. Like those players commit a crime or a felony or an injury occurs, then maybe we can have a conversation, but not that any of those things are going to happen because both sound like great people. Injuries, you never know. But yeah, crazy things can happen for sure in the draft, and they still might even take the quarterback in that situation. Jeremy also says, as someone who hasn't watched wrestling since I was a kid, can I ask what the excitement is to you? Is it the spectacle, the theater of it, or something else? I'm genuinely curious. I never was for me. Some buddies of mine had like the Goldberg and Hulk like plush dolls. I got not dolls, action stuffs. I don't know what you call them. But like wrestled those in fun. But I don't know. I was all football, baseball all the time as a kid. David Youngkin coming in saying, morning, Broncos country. Hope everyone is well and having a great start to your week. cold is pretty much dissipated. Still a little bit of snot in there. The little guy's getting over his cold as well. A little bummed that, again, Caitlin Clark in Iowa couldn't get it done yesterday. But, you know, back-to-back runner-up. Not bad when you're a team that, you know, had one WNBA player and the other team probably had 8 to 10 people who are going to be in the WNBA. So that is what it is. And hopefully I guess I'm cheering for Purdue tonight because Big Ten. But we'll see what happens in the men's game. I heard it doesn't start till like 9:20 Eastern time. God, man, how do you people do it in the East time zone? Jeremy comes and said, if we sign a guy like Darnell Minshew, I could see us trading back with only Stidham. I think Peyton gets a quarterback at 12 or higher. Again, I'm going to totally, you know, contradict myself here. But coming out of the owners' meeting, it sounded like there was at least, you know, some head nodding towards each other between Ryan Tannehill's camp and potentially the Broncos' camp as well. So keep an eye on that, depending on how the draft goes. I know Mike Kliss has mentioned the Broncos will probably have two new quarterbacks at some point before the season starts as well. He didn't say it had to be a drafted player. He said it could happen during the draft, which makes me think maybe a traded player during the draft. Names that stand out to me in that situation would be Daniel Jones if the Giants get somebody, or Zach Wilson, which, again, not exciting names, guys. I hate the, you know, I'm sure I got eye rolls for that, but trying to connect some dots here. But again, trust no one. We'll see what happens. We got Monica coming in. Scott's out, but she says, hey, Scott, it's just me. I'm ready to get draft over with and done because the anxiety and suspense is killing me. Bo Nix, I feel like Sean Payton's playing at 12. Could happen. Certainly could happen. I mean, his grade is all over the board, and a lot of people have been, a lot of analysts have been impressed with Bo Nix, the person coming through the draft process. But everybody's also said, from Michael Penix, Spencer Rattler, that the Broncos put them through the absolute ringer and was as tough as possible. So maybe Bo Nix passed with flying colors. We just won't know. I mean, he could have been good for one team and bad for another based on what they're looking for. It's just really, really hard to say, but I think that Bo Nix at 12 is certainly possible. I don't perceive it as great value, but who am I compared to Sean Payton, right? If that's his guy, then, you know, shut up, Nick. Oblivion Empire says, what's up, guys? Good to see you, Oblivion. Hope you're doing well. And Monica, sorry, I meant Nick. That's okay, Monica. It's all good. Facebook user says, howdy, Benjamin Flores here. Why does it do that to you, Ben? You must have like a private Facebook. Who knows? Jay comes in and says, great. Googly moogly, it's Broncos for breakfast. With that, I need a sip of coffee.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Two sips. Okay, I cheated. That's okay. Yeah, we got Jeremy. I'll say, yeah, nobody seems to know anything. Just going off tea leaves and former players. Yeah, I'm not in the breaking news insider business, despite being on Mile High Insiders. I mean, that's just more of a name, but definitely the analyst side. I'll leave the breaking news and those sources to other people. I'll react and tell you what I think should happen and the value of what has happened. Keith comes in and says, good to see you healthy and rested, my friend. I don't know if I'll ever be 100% healthy or 100% rested ever again, but definitely on the better end than I was last Monday. That is for damn sure. We got the one and only Big E, Bronco. Good to see you, Big E. Definitely the one and only. He says, yes, it was awesome talking about the WrestleMania. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, Luke also says, yeah, ready for the Broncos. I haven't been in postseason since I was 15. God bless you, man. My first football memories was Super Bowl 98, or not Super Bowl 98, Super Bowl in 1998 when the Broncos beat the Packers and hooked from there. Watched the VHS tape over like summer vacation, probably twice a week. The 99 one as well. It was always a lot of fun. I always like they play the more tumultuous music when the Broncos would lose, and just always a lot of fun. We got Jared Fry coming and said, don't care about reaching for players anymore. Just get good players that can play. I mean, you still want to play the value game, right? You have so far to go, in my opinion, at least. I know some people might disagree. I appreciate the optimists here, but I tend to be a skeptic, a prove-it-to-me kind of person. And I also tend to look at what historically has been pretty good at predicting future results. And unfortunately for Broncos country, Vegas lines have been pretty damn good. There's always outliers that stand out, and why not the Broncos this year, right? That could happen. But 5.5 wins from a lot of Vegas books. Historically, I want to give credit to Warren Sharp Football. He did an analyst, and like Vegas is really good at predicting the haves and the have-nots in the upcoming football season. Not a shock, but I know a lot of people are like, I think the Broncos can be just as good, if not better, next year. We'll see. We will see. Zach Powers, and I'm hoping they are, but again, prove it. Zach Powers, morning. Good to see you, Zach. Hope you're doing well. Always great to see Zach in here. It's always a lot of fun. Joseph talks and it's the storytelling, the overall story and the story in the ring. So it's a narrative, kind of fun. That's good. Conga Hydra comes in and says, strange people cheer for conferences, divisions in college, but not in pro sports. I think it's a regionality thing to an extent. And I cheer for, like, I'll cheer for the AFC in some things sometimes, but I won't cheer for the direct rivals. So like as an Iowa fan, you catch me dead cheering for Iowa State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Minnesota to a certain extent, but they're very much little brother. But you know, Purdue, the Michigan, sure, whatever, like go Big Ten. We'll see what happens with that, the game tonight though. Hulk comes in and said, Sean got bamboozled out of Mahomes. He won't let it happen again. I mean, did he get bamboozled? He was sitting there at 11, and if he really, really, really loved him and had to have him, you don't sit there at 11 and wait for him to go, especially with how much Sean Payton has traded up in history. I think he gets a little bit more self-credit for the Mahomes stuff than he should because, you know, you're a team that's traded up a lot historically, and you didn't go out and get him. Would you have taken him to 11? Maybe, probably, but you didn't, and you could have gone up and got him. So that's the history, right? That's what happened. So I do agree, though, that he probably kicks himself. I don't know, bamboozle is probably the word I'm taking exception with here. Probably kicks himself that he wasn't aggressive and went and got his guy. So maybe he will go up and trade for a quarterback. It's going to be expensive, and it's going to be hard, and I just don't know if the Broncos have enough pieces outside the quarterback with the uncertainty of hitting on the quarterback where, man, if you trade up and miss, then the dark ages are going to last another 6-7 years in Denver. So I guess that lines up with Mahomes and Herbert, right? I'm starting to be pretty close to the end, but we'll see, man. Jamal Killings, morning Broncos country. Hope you're doing well. Joseph says, I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan. Very rarely root for other Big Ten teams, and definitely rooting for UConn. I don't know. The UConn kind of contingency got me a little bit irritated with the gatekeeping of greatness that we've seen, mostly from the women's team. But I don't know. UConn's had it good a lot, and I kind of enjoy it when the Big Ten is dominant. I want, you know, Big Ten over everything, right? Glenn comes in. The Broncos end up sliding back and getting a second. I can see us trading away Bowles and going for a new left tackle in Penix. Thoughts? Possible. I think that Matt Miller tweeted out yesterday about the Broncos at 12 are a hard team to peg right now, but keep an eye on the left tackle position as well for Denver, given Garrett Bowles' contract last year play and his play never really leading up to that COVID season. So we will see what happens with left tackle. I think left tackle is certainly a possibility. Less possible, though, because Bowles is still here. But, I mean, there's so many tackles, but somebody's not going to get a tackle that would have liked one that's a contender. So maybe see Bowles a post-draft trade or a day-two trade. It's possible. Chase Wellner, morning, Nick. Can't shake the feeling they're going to do something unexpected. They always do. There'll probably be some sort of trade. Who knows? Who knows? Who do you think the Broncos take in the first round? Right now, if I had to bet, I think that they're going to trade back from 12 and take Leatu Latu and then trade back up for Bo Nix. That is my bet right now. That's not a great bet because so many contingencies in it, but that's what I think happens. Monica comes in also says, Nick, I watch Kurt Warner break down Nix and his good and bads, but I think Sean can fix those bads. Just hope we get a franchise quarterback. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. But I did want to, you know, give a shout out to Kurt Warner. He's a good guy, you know, grocery worker at Hy-Vee. If you know Hy-Vee, then you're one of the real ones. Grocery store there in the Midwest. And Kurt Warner, actually, my dad worked with his sister-in-law. And I used to run into Kurt Warner every once in a while, Dad's Club soccer games. I even have a football sign that says, God bless you, Nicholas, from Kurt Warner. That's me signing him, obviously, signing the football. His niece even had, you know, a little bit of a, she had a little crush on me in eighth grade. I think she gave me her number at like summer camp or something. I wasn't that interested, but she was a nice lady. Hope she's doing well. But yeah, love Kurt Warner. Shout out to Kurt. Gotta love those Iowa nice guys. Kathy comes in and says, hi, Nick, can we just take Nick's and roll with it, pretty please? If they do, then I'm going to hope for the best, but want to see a full year sample size. And if the Broncos, I'm the point where if like the quarterback that you take doesn't look like freaking CJ Stroud out of the gate and you're picking an elite spot next season, like one of the top three picks and have a chance at the quarterback, sorry, you were not good enough as a team, as a quarterback, having that much impact on the roster, that I'm probably re-swinging at quarterback as well and then trading the other guy because that's just how it is. I'm ruthless. Look out, Mills, my son's name. Yeah, you better be good or I'm going to replace you. No, I won't. I love you. I love you. Keith, come in. It's a happy solar eclipse day. How long will it be until the Broncos get out from the shadow of Russ's cap hit? It will be 2026 when they're out of the shadow of the cap hit. I think the real... Honestly, it's not so much the cap hit that's, I mean, the cap hit definitely kills the team a bit, but you have so few young up and coming cost controlled talent because of the trades you've made. You have not made a top 50 pick in the draft since Javonte Williams. I mean, that's wild. So your lack of talent and difference makers and emerging up and coming talent, players that should be the backbone, the basis of your roster right now, you know, entering their second and third year in the league as cost-controlled players. I mean, that's how a lot of good teams that don't have demigods at quarterbacks, you know, emerge. Good draft class, a lot of times built on those, obviously, first-round picks, but those day-two picks as well. And, I mean, outside of Nick Benito, I mean, have we had even a top 100 pick that's done much of anything? I mean, God, seriously, in the last two draft classes, I mean, it's too early to ring the alarm DEFCON 1 for the 2023 class, but like they're all special teamers right now. Maybe they're jostling around Drew Sanders. Who knows what happens with him? Moss, I mean, if they take a cornerback, we'll know what they say about him. But it's we'll see what happens. We got Jess Canady coming in and says, good morning, Broncos country. Hope you're doing well. Big E says, it's not just a story. What's the athleticism and everyone? Men got and women put on a show. What's Ricochet? Some of the stuff. Man, I'm fumbling this so bad. He's talking about the WrestleMania. I'm glad people really liked it. Jeremy comes in and says, seems Nick is already ready, really working on his footwork. Hopefully that's good. The footwork, I mean, a lot of times the upper body mechanics, I don't want to mess with too much, but the base, that's where you generate your power, your accuracy, a lot of stuff. So hopefully that gets cleaned up. One thing I like about Nick's, man, the big hands, the big frame, he can get that football and get rid of it quick. And there is value to that. You know, some quarterbacks, they have to like flip it and then get their hands on the exact laces spot and then do it. And I think Nick's can probably throw the football without his hands on the laces every time if he has to. So some advantages to those big mitts. Miranda comes in and says, well, he definitely isn't going to sit at 12 if he loves a guy. I mean, he might. It depends on if he's willing to risk it a bit, and the Broncos don't have the capital to move up. There might not be a lot of teams. Based on what a lot of people around the NFL says, Denver's not going to have a lot of competition for Knicks at 12 if they did take him at 12 now. Again, it's talking head season. Do we believe that? I don't know. Who knows? But I think there's certainly a possibility. And Denver's, maybe they don't love Knicks, but they could like him enough to take him at 12, and I would still understand it. I don't think I could pull the trigger there, but I'm only dealing with, 60% of the information, the variable, the tape, obviously, the statistics. I think it's more of a day two grade kind of quarterback, in my opinion. But you're still missing a big chunk. I mean, 40% of the analysis, that could totally tip the scales in a different direction, and I'm willing to live in that uncertainty and not pretend that I have the information there. But that could totally tip the scales and make it a fine selection there. Chris Heisel comes in and says, good morning, Nick, in Broncos country. Gotta blow my nose, guys. Sorry, it's still here.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hope you guys got that in 4K. So thank you so much coming in here, Chris. Man, we got to get the super chats going in here, guys. Chad's going to take me off the air. Dan Wilkett comes in and said, trade down, get your franchise quarterback in 2025. When will you have a top five pick, maybe even number one? It's possible. And that's one reason I am extremely concerned with trading up and giving up a top 20, 2025 first round pick. Now, if you go up and you can get like Drake May, or I'm a little bit more hesitant with JJ McCarthy trading up, but like if you can trade it up and get Drake May, who I really like, and I mean, heck, maybe I'll be wrong. I feel like the last time I was this far apart from NFL to where I stand on a quarterback, it was Justin Fields, and obviously he hasn't been incredible. But I would be very concerned about trading a future first, and that's all. Yeah, very possible. Chris comes and says Latu and Knicks would be really nice. Yeah, I think that's an area I'm looking. I think that'd be very possible. Broncos need edge rushers, guys. I mean, we'll get into it here. We probably should now. I've told Natalie I'd go, 40 minutes. Broncos need edge rushers. They're two of their top three are going to be free agents next year. Benito's not really a starter. So I don't know. And Chris comes in and says, can't fix lack of arm strength. I think Knicks has enough arm strength to be competent and run offense. Now there's going to be throws on the field that the windows that I don't think he's can test and should test, but Dak Prescott doesn't have an overwhelming arm. Kirk Cousins doesn't have an overwhelming arm. I think those are guys, they're so cerebral and good with the post and pre-snap stuff that they can get it done. But I think that it lowers your floor a tad, and it also gives you less pathways to becoming a competent quarterback. So you have to be better in other areas. Obviously, again, talking math equation wise, if your arm strength is, you know, less, then you have to be better in certain other areas. That's a possible, and other quarterbacks have done it before. Clutch Master says, morning. Do you think Sweat's draft position will be affected by the DWI? Absolutely. I would not be shocked at all if Sweat's draft, if he's going to be off a lot of teams' boards. I know that he was a partier at Texas, and a lot of teams were concerned about that. And this happening, you know, 2 weeks before the draft, man, that would be concerning. That would be concerning for sure. Jeremy asked, Nick, hypothetical trade for you. May for 12, two first, JJ for 12 and 25 first, or Knicks at 12. Man, I probably would lean May for that price personally, but that's a lot of risk, man. It scares me. I think JJ for that price, I'm the lowest on, just because that 2025 first is so valuable. And I think JJ is a very good player, but I don't know if he's great. I don't know if I see greatness in him, but I might do that for May. There's risk though, man. It makes my, you know what, pucker a bit, not to overshare on here. Yeah, we got a Chris also comes in. So my thoughts is, even if Knicks doesn't end up being a long-term answer, he could steer a ship while we build until the blue chipper becomes available. Think Chiefs with Alex Smith. I think that's possible for sure. The one thing also is you get yourself a quarterback who is very much cost controlled to get other areas right on the roster. But the thing that concerns me with a quarterback like that is, I kind of come back to the Drew Lock era, where it's like, to me, it's obvious he's not good enough to hang with the big guns in the NFL, but there's going to be so many people who will, you know, say that he is. And I don't want to deal with that again to that extent, but you never know. You never know. We got Papa Kennedy coming in and says, good morning, Nick. Good to see you, Steve. I hope your son is doing well. I miss him, holding down the fort here without him, but we're doing okay hanging out here. Nate's coming in, probably talking about Bo Nix. I really think he'd be the guy for us. Yep, that's Lawrence Rivera also says, good morning, everyone. Got some super chats coming in. Heck yeah. JJ is getting a lot of negative press. McCarthy? I haven't seen it so much, but I've been busy, so that's okay. Penix and Nick seem to be the flavors of the week this week. I think we trade back and still get a solid quarterback. Paying out is a different story. I'm crossing my fingers. Glad you're feeling better. Thank you so much for the support, Coach. We really do appreciate that. Also, Oblivion Empire says, hit the like, guys. Show the support on this amazing show. Falcons fan, even coming in and supporting us. We love that. And Kathy comes in and says, don't cancel Nick. I hopefully haven't said anything terrible. He and Scott are the best. Okay, y'all are. And also, we got Troy coming in and says, hey, Nick, sorry the Hawkeyes couldn't finish it. Hope for offensive tackle, defensive tackle, edge in this draft. QB would be nice, too, if we can get one and still build a team. Yeah, going into it right now, I do want to talk a little bit about the players at 12 who I think are a little bit dark horses for the Broncos. So obviously we've seen I'm going to rule out Brock Bowers. He's mocked at Denver a lot there. I'm going to rule out Kenyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold. I guess they're kind of dark horses, but the cornerback stuff just kind of gives me the willies a tad. I'm also going to roll out Bo Nix. So who's left for the Broncos there that is a dark horse candidate for the pick? And I think first guy that comes to mind for me, got to be a lot of those offensive tackles. Two versatile guys are ones that if they're there at 12, it makes a lot of sense for me for the Broncos to take them. That is Talise Fuaga from Oregon State and Troy Fontenot from Washington. Broncos have a pretty solid offensive line entering this year. Center is a question, but for one season, tackle and guard for sure seem to be set. However, injuries happen, and last year the Broncos had the third healthiest offensive line in football. They have the third most snaps with their starters in place. So that is exceedingly unlikely to happen again. And offensive line depth, if you don't have it and you need it, it can tank a season so fast. So do you want to use a first round pick on pure depth? No, but I think it's pretty safe to assume that you're going to need your sixth and seventh offensive linemen are probably going to start a good number of snaps at some point. That's just based on median data from across the league. You're going to have injuries occur. So depth on the offensive line and competition on the offensive line would be big there. I think Talise Fuaga and Troy Fontenot, because their versatility, make a little bit more sense and value. But I'd also toss out, of course, Amarius Mims from Georgia, as well as Olu Fashanu from Penn State. All four of those offensive tackles stand out to me for Denver there at 12. We'll see if Denver ends up going that way. But I think offensive tackle is definitely a high probability and dark horse for the Broncos. Continuing there, the conversation at 12 overall. Another dark horse, I feel like we haven't talked about it too much. I wish he tested a little bit better at the combine, but I know that he's a pretty darn good player. And I'll even toss out two here, but I think one's a little better than the other, and that's defensive tackle Byron Murphy and defensive tackle Jerzon Johnny Newton. Broncos have made some moves on the defensive tackle spot this year, bringing in Roach. They've kept Jones so far, and you have Zach Allen, who's kind of a inside-outside player, better at 4-eye than moving inside. Not very good once he gets a little bit further inside. But we saw the defensive tackle market has done over the last 2 years. I mean, it is pretty wild. I got to find this tweet. I should have pulled it up beforehand because just how valuable the position is for the Broncos or just across the league. So give me 1 second here while I do great live television. This is what you get for when you have no people here. And of course, I can't find it. I looked up cornerback and I thought that would be it. But alas, oh, wait, I typed in cornerbacks. There we go. Cornerback should be it. There we go. Defensive tackle market has gone pretty crazy. Yeah, I think the position is from DeForest Buckner. It's not the tweet I was looking for. God bless it. But defensive tackle has gotten paid like crazy the last few seasons. And that position is definitely going up in value. Well, I think cornerback is honestly dropping a bit in value. So defensive tackle, Byron Murphy and Johnny Newton, definitely up there. I'd prefer them in a slight trade back if you're talking, you know, mid to late first round. If you can move back and get one of those defensive tackles there, makes a lot of sense to get some talent on the defensive line. You just got to start adding first round bodies to the defensive front. I mean, you just don't have any, not a single one on the defensive line right now, which is a recipe for disaster, given the, what we know data wise from good defenses and first round picks on the defensive line. You don't have a single one, not body beautiful for sure on the defensive line. So Newton and Murphy, two that really stand out for me as dark horses as well. That I would be interested in. We got Sean Burns coming in here saying, good morning. Hope you're doing well, Sean. We always appreciate you. Oh, yeah. And thank you so much, Zach. Another one who really stands out for me. I knew I was missing somebody. I went through four offensive tackles. Got to be somebody else. JC Latham makes a lot of sense as well. You don't always agree with the rankings. I don't always as well, but I did see that Chris Sims had JC Latham up there with Joe Alt as one of the best players, offensive tackles in the draft. And Latham, I worry a little bit about the foot speed. Maybe it's me being a little bit grading Evan Neal on JC Latham to an extent where, like, because of the scheme and because of the quarterback, you didn't really have to see him get a lot of depth in his kick step a lot of times and redirect, but he's got some freaking mitts and probably one of the, honest to God, one of the best anchors I've ever seen from an offensive lineman ever. If he gets in front of you and he drops his butt, it's over. You are not moving. It's trying to like move a tree stump. It's not happening. So Latham's, what drives me nuts is a little bit inconsistent. You'll see some plays where he's like blown up, which for a guy his size is concerning. Also, the lack of testing data for Latham concerns me a bit as well. But talking about those other guys, you have to toss in JC Latham as well at 12. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Chargers end up trading back and taking him. But Latham makes a heck of a lot of sense. We got Zach Powers. What do you think about Fashanu having 8-inch hands? Yeah, that's concerning for me because of the grip strength. You know, you don't want to hold the guy, but hand size does matter for the offensive tackles, for grip strength and the ability to lock onto guys. So it's a, it doesn't matter what the arm length, so to speak. Honestly, his arms are probably even longer because the hand length is smaller, right? They should be measuring from shoulder to wrist rather than to the fingertips, but it's a totally different conversation. We got Keith Brugman comes. It's been a while since we took Ryan Clady with the 12th pick. Do you see another Clady offensive tackle available this season? I think Olu Fashanu could be a Ryan Clady, you know, a good athlete. I do worry about coming back to the hand size. He just doesn't hold his blocks that well sometimes, but he makes some sense there. And I think that, I mean, just there's a lot of really good offensive tackles in this class. that's one that really stands out for me. And yeah, Zach Power says, Jerzon Newton lived in the backfield. Yeah, he was really good. I don't think he's as powerful as Murphy or as versatile. Murphy played a lot of gaps, snaps with the A-gap, which is wild for his body type. He's a three technique through and through. And I think he had the highest pass rush win rate of any of the defensive tackles still, despite playing so many A-gap snaps. And he's only like 20 years old, where Newton, I think, is 22, 23. So Newton's good. He's a first-round pick for me. I know some people, Eric, don't even have like him as a first-round pick, but I think he's a back end of the first-round talent. I just would take the younger guy who I perceive as a little bit more powerful and explosive. Mike Givens coming in here too, saying, not saying anything, just supporting the show, 1999. Thank you so much, Mike. Good to see you. And Jess comes in and says, our offensive line is ranked 7 out of 32. Let's get a quarterback, wideout, and tight end. I talked about it earlier, but you have a lot of concerns on the offensive line as far as depth goes, and also Bowles is last year of his contract. I'm very much a take advantage of the – oops. Pardon me. Cough came. I'm very much a believer of the taking advantage of strengths in draft classes, because you'll get a guy further down than you typically would. And that's one reason I think, like, you know, Bo Nix, if he's there early day two, maybe most years he'd go mid round one, maybe he still goes mid round one, but I think, you know, take advantage of that back end there. That's what I kind of lean into a tad, but especially offensive tackle and wide receiver this season as well. And very much offensive tackle. I think there's wide receivers kind of crop up every single year, maybe not to this extent, but there's always going to be offensive pass catchers available now, just given where the game is at the college level. Not always going to be offensive lines like this, offensive line classes. So I am not against adding to the offensive line. It's long-term thinking too. Are the Broncos one wide receiver away or one tight end away? Absolutely freaking not. It's not a good roster. So adding something that's a little bit more of a slow burn is what I believe in there. That's just my ethos. Mike Givens, thank you so much. We also got Chris come in here, says, doesn't Jim Leonard have ties to Newton? To an extent, was advisory there for 1 year. So maybe that's something to look into, but didn't recruit him, right? I think a lot of times it's the recruiting stuff that actually really matters. So I don't know about that. I mean, heck, if Keanu Benton was in this draft, we'd be all over that. But we already were all over it. But Newton makes some sense, I guess. I didn't even think about the ties there. Troy Boer coming in. Although, Broncos are bringing in only Longhorns on defense. So Byron Murphy makes sense, too, in that regard, right? It's every single Longhorn to ever play defense is going to end up on the Broncos based on this offseason. Troy comes in and says, say we trade back and have one end of the first and two mid-seconds. What is a realistic haul? Oh, man, you're going to make me pull up a big board here. A realistic haul, let's say the Broncos trade back. Let's go Bo Nix at 30. Zach Frazier at 45, and then Chris Jenkins at 58. Boom, boom, boom. You add bodies to the center and you get a quarterback. Let's do it. Hopefully that'd be fun. One more guy I didn't want to talk about here, just a dark horse for the Broncos, early round one. I haven't seen him linked to Denver very much at all. I guess I do want to throw out Leiatu Latu and Verse. Not so much dark horses, because outside of Kenyon Mitchell and Tyrone Arnold, edge rushers mocked Denver probably the next most, and Brock Bowers. Somebody who I think is going to have a chance to go very early, and earlier than a lot of people are mocking or talking right now, but there has been mocks from prominent people over the last 2 weeks that have this guy going before Denver's even on the clock. And that is Brian Thomas out of LSU. There you go, Jess Kennedy, wide receiver. Brian Thomas is still pretty new to football overall, and while his route tree is not very advanced, his athletic profile is unbelievable, and he has a chance to be a better professional player than he was in college, in my opinion. He is massive, and he tested fantastic. He is the, according to relative athletic score from Kent Lee Platt, Brian Thomas's RAS, relative athletic score, is the 10th highest of 3,063 wide receivers from 1987 to 2024. 38.5 verticals in the 90th percentile. Broad is in the 87th percentile. His 40-yard dash is in the 98.7th percentile. 10-yard split in the 9th percentile. He's an explosive player. And you guys have heard me on here. Outside of turnovers, nothing really gets me going both excited and angry as explosive plays. And Denver needs to be able to figure out how to make more explosive plays. And Brian Thomas could, in theory, bring that to the table. So he's honestly the darkest dark horse of anybody we've talked about. I have not heard a lot of people mention Brian Thomas, but with how Denver has been shopping wide receivers, the uncertainty of they don't have a number one, in my opinion. I think Sutton's a, he can be a number one, but not a great number one. Thomas, I think, could be a very, very good player. So Brian Thomas, dark horse for me for the Broncos. Man, I got a tickle in my throat. It doesn't even feel like it's actually a bad cough anymore. We got Rattlesnake Master coming in, says, if we trade back, are you taking Nicks or Penix? Doesn't Penix testing throw a wrench in it? 446. Love from Nebraska. Yeah, I think that it's so weird because he plays not athletic. He plays very stiff. His accuracy when on the move is very bad. But he ran pretty well in a straight line. So that makes you go back to the tape. The other thing about Penix is that he does have a superhero trait. The arm is live. That arm is... The velocity of the arm is about as good as anybody in this class. I think Caleb Williams' arm is better just because of the platform stuff that he can do and generate velocity off of muddy bases and different arm slots. But as far as a pure dropback, Penix is pretty good. My concern with Penix is that he just needs an absolute wall of China in front of him based on what I saw at Washington. Because once it gets a little bit muddy, he's lose a lot of accuracy, process speeds up. It's just not great. But if it's, you know, clean, pure drop back, doesn't have to worry about pressure, he can be pretty good. And the arm is live. Personally, I think I'd probably take Bo Nix because of the floor, the lack of injuries, the frame. And I think he is a better fit overall for the offense, but I could make arguments for both of them. Really, really, really good. Jeremy comes in and says, Nick, would you trade Bowles for a third if you can immediately draft his replacement with that pick? It's hard to find a good left tackle with the third round. So I think it's probably one of the things where if I can get a tackle in the first round that I really like, and then you can trade Bowles after that for a third, sure. But I don't know if I'm looking for a third round pick to come in and replace Bowles immediately without that guy, you know, proving it first. But I just don't think third round pick and coming in here and then being great off the bat. So we got Keith comes in and says, Brian Thomas versus Xavier Worthy. Give me Thomas. I mean, the size profile is unbelievable for a player. I don't have his weight here on this graphic. No, I do. 210 pounds, 6'2". Didn't block that one. Sorry, guys. So I'll take Thomas, but Worthy's really good. I feel like we're almost so predisposed to like think people are going to overrate speed that people are like, oh, Xavier Worthy, not a first-round pick. Very much a borderline first-round pick before he ran that ridiculous speed at the combine. So that's just, you don't double grade. Not a top 10 pick because he ran that fast, but still up there. But I think he's more in that Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, Pascal range where it's like, you know, pick 20 to 50. I'd expect them to come off the board. So guys, anybody else really stand out for you? Let me know. I think that probably another very big dark horse for the Broncos there would be Graham Barton, who is an offensive lineman. Talk about versatile, another five position guy from Duke. I think that's probably a little early for him, but you never know. We've seen Sean Payton take interior offensive linemen way earlier than a lot of people have said before. So I think Graham Barton is also like an unlikely, but at least like one toss out the name because he seems to be flying up boards and somebody to keep an eye on as well. And other than that, I mean, Cooper DeJean test today, I guess it's possible him. I think he's probably more of a back end first round, but we've went through most of the guys. So out of everything, I think I'm still on the offensive tackle or edge rusher train for the Broncos. If they stay at 12, what I would love is Lance Zierlein's mock. I don't think he had Bo Nix go in the first round. And the Broncos go Kenyon Mitchell, who's a good cornerback in his own right. I don't think I could stomach going corner in the first, but at 12 at least. But I mean, he's a heck of a player. But trading down into that 18, 19, 20 range where you had Troy Fontenot, Police Fuaga, and Leatu Latu all come off the board there. If Broncos can move down from 12 to 18 through 22 and get one of those guys, they probably have the ammo to go up and then get Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, or Michael Penix, however they grade those guys. So we will see how it plays out. But I really think that there's going to be a lot of movement up and down the board for sure. And one last one here before we wrap it on up here. Coach Chris says, is the hype around Jordan Morgan legit? Could he be a replacement for Bowles? Fashanu could be available later if we trade back. I think Fashanu is more likely to go earlier than Jordan Morgan. I think Jordan Morgan's a really good guard prospect, but he's a little stiff and he's a little short in the arms. But I think he'll go somewhere. Seems like a lot of times those guards are like one of the first picks in the second round. So we can see what happens with Morgan. I mean, he's had hype entering the year his tape's pretty good at Arizona, but didn't have an unbelievable showing at the Senior Bowl. And again, just a little short and stiff, in my opinion. So he's somebody who I think is probably early round two. Maybe gets pushed down a little bit because of the offensive line depth in this class, but you never know. You never know. So thank you guys so much. Hope you're doing well. Man, heck of a time. And Jess says, comment here. You can have the arm, but if you can't read the defense, that's why Nix is my guy. I mean, I don't know if you can say that Penix can't read the defense, so to speak. There are some throws where you see arm arrogance in there, but I mean, that they put it, it wasn't a lot of, you know, boom, first read, ball out kind of guy. Because he, you know, a lot of down the field, slower developing concepts. It's just, there's a reason the Washington offensive line won the Joe Moore Award, right? Like, that was a good unit this year. Their right tackle, Rosengarten, could be a top 100 pick, and Fontenot could be a top 15 pick. So that's a pretty good line. But I don't think that's fair to say Penix can't read a defense any worse than Bo Nix can. Both offenses are kind of not, they're not NFL style. We'll see what Grubbs does in the NFL, but I wouldn't say they're NFL style, so to speak. Both of them have some struggles working the middle of the field. Penix, a little bit more arm arrogance. Nix has just a higher floor because he can tuck and run and do a little bit more off script, in my opinion, which you need from time to time. But both very fine quarterback prospects. I'd have day two grades on them, but day two grades at quarterback go in the second half of the first round all the time, all the time. So that is that's an area. And we'll see what happens with the quarterbacks coming off the board. It does seem like Broncos, Knicks, Raiders, Penix, and I'd look for both of those late one slash early day two. But who knows? Again, trust no one. I trust you guys. Thank you guys for coming in and supporting us today, hanging out with me. Scott's going to be back tomorrow. Coach Chris, Oblivion Empire, Kathy Schmidt, Troy Boer, Mike Gibbons, Chris, Troy again, Rattlesnake Master, and Coach Chris again. You guys killed it, keeping the lights on, getting me not canceled. Hopefully I didn't say anything in here that'll get me canceled. Did want to give a shout out again to those Iowa Hawkeye ladies and also South Carolina. Fun game yesterday. Heck of a time. Really fun to see women's sports get bigger. I think, honestly, women's basketball, I think, has a chance to pass men's basketball because men, superstar men players can be one and done, where women play 3 years. So you can actually like build narratives and teams over time, where it's really, I find it hard to get into basketball with the one and done nature of it. But who knows? A lot of fun. And man, guys, we are just looking down the tracks towards the NFL draft. We are two and a half weeks away. So all the mocks and all that fun will be gone here pretty soon. But thank you guys so much. Also, Brian Dunn coming and supporting the show as we get on out of here. Thank you so much, Brian. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at Nick Kendall MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. And as that ticker says there underneath, please subscribe to our show. Like the show and share on our social media platforms. I will be back again tomorrow evening to talk Broncos with Carl. But until then, you guys continue to choose kindness, compassion. Hope you had a great weekend. And as always, go Broncos.